Welcome to Good Things Radio, a lifestyle show about activating your mind, body, and soul to become fully alive. And now, your host, Brooke Taylor.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. This is episode 188, and today, how's your day going? How's your week been? Are you feeling a spark when you wake up and you hear your alarm clock? Does that spark joy? That's the question. It's hard to maintain that spirit of popping up out of bed, but we're going to touch on that today. Making our ordinary tasks extraordinary. Like when you have one of those, I don't know, Snapchat or Instagram filters, you have a general scene, and then you put a filter over it, and then everything sparkles or brightens up. This, like in a mystical way, is what we have the opportunity to do when we unite our ordinary tasks to prayer. And about 12 years ago, I started a blog called The Sacred Sink, and it was all about that. It was really dedicated to that 1 Thessalonians scripture, the 5:18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. So how can we do that? Sitting in traffic, interacting with somebody who's difficult, getting frustrated over a text or an email, and just kind of the mundane things that we might do every day. Well, the saints knew how to do this. They mastered this. Me, not so much, but I love trying and finding things that help me because I do struggle with this so much. And today's guests have a new book, not only about that. In fact, I wish we got to that a little bit more, but it is inside the pages of our friend Faustina. The writers, Michelle Fainley, Emily Jaminet, friends of the show, and also the team behind Divine Mercy for Moms and the Friendship Project. So this new book is all about life lessons in divine mercy. Life lessons when you're visiting the sick, life lessons when you're burying the dead, life lessons when you're doing the laundry. And who is Faustina? What is divine mercy? Is it really possible that God is speaking to us in our everyday lives? And if so, how can we hear him? That's what we attempt to cover as we look at the life of St. Faustina and our own stories. That's one of my favorite things. We're going to really bring to life some of the stories that are shared in this book. And full disclosure, I am partial to this project because I had a chapter in the book, which was a tremendous honor, and we'll get to that. And when I go and speak, I share this, but I don't know that I've ever sat and wrote in a concentrated way some of the things that I've shared in this chapter. So we'll get to all of that with Emily and Michelle. But before we get to that, you know, it's been a while since we've done the My Favorite Things segment, and I kind of miss it, and I have a favorite thing. So I think we should do it. Mark, you want to hit it?
St. Therese with her roses, God's words when it's written, bright kids in church shirts and sunny beach sitting. Big runs on pavement and stretching out hamstrings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Okay, so I only have one favorite thing right now, and it's a book. It's another book, but man, is this a good one. It is Robert Cardinal Sarah, The Day Is Now Far Spent. And I was blessed to receive a copy of this new book that really within 10 minutes went to the tippy top of my favorite things list, at least when it comes to books lately, because I know for a lot of us that Cardinal Sarah holds a special place in our heart. He wrote the book, The Power of Silence, and just the dictatorship of noise and reclaiming sacred solitude. I also have and love the book, God or Nothing. If you don't have that one, that's another good one. It's conversations just about his own story, his vocation journey, commentary on the culture. And that is like a 100 on a scale of 1 to 10. But this book is a prophetic masterpiece, and it made me think of if you were around in a contemporary of St. Augustine and were reading his City of God or were reading his Confessions, did people know what they were holding in their hands? Like, could you, because that's how I feel. This is when you're reading it, fireworks are going off, and there is a realization that what I'm reading today is going to reach far into the future, and I hope and pray far across the world and into hearts. I feel like every person should read this book. And when you start reading it, you're like, oh boy, but he's not saying anything that we don't already know. He talks about the crisis of faith, the crisis of the priesthood, the crisis of the church. Where is the world headed? The errors of the West. So you're kind of sensing a theme, but it is hopeful. The last part of the book is called Rediscovering Hope, the Practice of the Christian Virtues, and God opens his hand, and what must we do? And I really think this one is like a good study because it's hard to read it and then kind of keep this to yourself. You want to talk about it. You want to get in a round table and discuss it. You want to take notes on it. So I know that we all have a ton of books like in our Amazon basket or whatever, but this one I definitely think is worth it. It's from Ignatius. It's called The Day Is Now Far Spent, one of the latest things on My Favorite Things. And I wanted to mention one of your favorite things, I hope. I'm kind of combining this with the mailbag here because I received a message from Nina, and she said this, Brooke, thank you for playing the song by Ellen on your podcast, Ellen Wallenfang. And that was episode number 187, last week's show. She said, I've been praying about the Arise retreat. This is a hard time for me to get away, but I am praying for all those who are able to go. I love the song you played, and I ended up listening to it several times so I could reflect on the words. Wow, it was just what I needed. Wow. Well, thank you, Nina. And yes, at the end of that show, the entire song is played in its entirety. And Ellen is our praise and worship leader for Arise. So it was really exciting to be able to share that sneak peek of her music and coinciding with these VIP tickets on sale now. And I wanted to mention also, if you are planning to purchase a VIP ticket, and I think right now we have one, maybe two left, but the sands of the hourglass are running out. And actually, so the Feast of St. Faustina, October 5th, was when they went on sale. VIP means you get to pick your own room. You get to get into the retreat house earlier and have a private reception, mass, lots of other goodies thrown in there. But we had 20 only up for grabs. Now, again, I think one or two, and they go away when the general admission tickets go on sale on October 22nd. So if you don't scoop it up, then it's going to go away and you'll no longer be able to get the VIP ticket as of October 22nd. So keep that in mind if you're interested. But the good news is that the general admission tickets go on sale October 22nd. So write it down, mark it in your calendar, keep that in mind. And one cool thing, I have to thank my husband, my tech-savvy husband, for this, because back in the summer, he signed us up for this opt-in text where right now, all you need to do is, if you're not already in the GTR newsletter, just text the word FIAT, F-I-A-T, text the word FIAT to 66866. And I never like that because there's way too many sixes in there, but that's, we didn't get a choice. So it's FIAT at 66866. And when you do that, they'll ask for your email. That helps you get included on the newsletter, but then automatically you'll receive a link to the Eventbrite page. So it has all of the Arise info on there, the map, the details, the price, the date, which is June 5th through the 7th, next summer, 2020. Also, you'll get a link to the pilgrimages. If you're curious just to read about it, if you're interested in going to the Holy Land, there's a Lenten pilgrimage where we will be in Jerusalem on Ash Wednesday. And that's with Brother John Michael Paul and Select International. Really excited to be working with them for the first time. Then in July, we have a pilgrimage to Ireland. So if any of those are up your alley, just text that word FIAT. And in general, because with the newsletter, you can stay in the loop that way. But again, it's 66866. And when you text, just text FIAT to that number and you will be in the loop. A book comes along to fill a deep hole in your heart and lead you into the light. That is a review of the new release, Our Friend Faustina, by the founder of CatholicMom.com, Lisa Hendy, who read the book. And wow, what a beautiful statement there. And I cannot wait to dive in. You might already know Michelle Fainley and Emily Jaminet, certainly friends of the program. But they are also the writing team behind the best-selling Divine Mercy for Moms and the Friendship Project, and now assembling this collection of essays about our friend Faustina, joining us to take us inside the pages and to the heart, both Emily and Michelle. Welcome, ladies.
Thanks for having us, Brooke.
We're so happy to be on your program.
This interview has been such a long time coming because I've been able to be just a little piece of the project and so excited every step of the way. And it's here. It's
been a long road, right? I know we feel like we've been waiting and pregnant for 2 years.
And finally, the glorious birth.
It's so exciting to do a project that involves other people, like, you know, with you being able to contribute. For Michelle and I to pull, you know, for both of us to pull 10 other women together and to have them share their story about their friendship, their relationship with St. Faustina is something that really is a life accomplishment to be a part of that. So I'm very excited that the day has come and the book is here.
Amen. And I want to get into who those contributors are and what they shared. But I want to start with just talking about Faustina, the concept of the book. And first of all, who Faustina is. Most of us already feel, maybe, if that we already know this Polish nun and the Divine Mercy devotion. But for those that don't know the person of Faustina Kowalska, can you just tell us a little bit about her?
Sure. As you said, Faustina was born in Poland. Helen was her real name. In 1905, she was very poor. She was a third of 10 children. And Emily and I love to share the story that when St. Faustina was a young girl, her family was so poor, they only had one dress that they could wear to Mass. So they had to take turns going to church so they had something appropriate to wear. So that kind of tells you the kind of life she led growing up. She ended up becoming a domestic helper. So nannying and working in a bakery, doing some jobs to help her family financially. And when she was about 19 years old, she was working in a bakery and she saw a flash of light. And she thought this was, she took this as a call to become a religious sister. And when she told her parents said no, because really, not only did they not want to lose the income, but she was such a wonderful child. They knew that if she went to the convent, they would never see her again. So she was obedient. She went back to work. But then again, she received a vision of Jesus while at a dance. And he asked, "How long shall I, you keep putting me off?" So it was a very dramatic bent in her life. And without her parents' permission, she took off. She went to join the convent. And she actually did not have an easy time because she had no dowry and no money. She was refused by several orders, but was finally accepted into the Congregation of the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy in Warsaw in 1925. And that's where she took the name Sister Maria Faustina of the Most Blessed Sacrament. What we know of St. Faustina's life, many people know, is she received extraordinary visions of Jesus. And she also recorded everything that happened to her in her diary.
And I love that for today, for all of us, men, women, it doesn't matter, that this hidden life of devotion yielded such a beautiful gift of the diary, this handbook that we have used around the world, and then giving us also, of course, Divine Mercy. And what is so beautiful is in the introduction, you tell us that. And so I think of someone who's just passing by on a bookshelf or a store and sees this book and maybe has no faith tradition. And yet we are introduced and I think instantly have that attachment to Faustina. And then you take us into these personal encounters of how we have this heavenly friendship with her, starting with you, Michelle. You have the first chapter and it's called Tapped on the Shoulder by Faustina. You talk about your favorite page in the entire diary. I love this. I want to just cherry pick this out of your story. And it's the page with the X on St. Faustina's diary. Could you tell us what that's about?
Yes, I really, when I saw this page at first, when I was kind of flipping through the diary, I'm like, why does this page have a big X on it? And St. Faustina writes, "From this day on, my own will does not exist." And on the next rig, she wrote, "From today on, I do the will of God everywhere, always, and in everything." And that's really, right, a summation of what our faith life is giving our will over to the will of God, is merging our will to the will of God. Because I think many times we think by when we pray, we're asking God to change his mind to our mind. But really, the whole purpose of our faith and our prayer life is to grow closer to God and to live out his will. So it's a really a beautiful gift to see how St. Faustina did that and in her writing. And really, that has impacted me to say every morning, you know, Lord, help me do your will today, not mine. Help me to know your will through my prayer life.
And through her witness, too. And you've had a long relationship with Faustina. Talk a little bit about how you came to know and love her, too.
Sure. When I was introduced to the Divine Mercy devotion as a young girl, my parents heard about the devotion. And so we would go to Divine Mercy Sunday celebrations in Chicago, and we'd have to search them out because nobody back then knew who St. Faustina was, because she wasn't even a saint. She was a blessed. But Emily and I both had a really amazing experience when we studied abroad. We were in Gaming, Austria at Franciscan University. We both had the opportunity to visit St. Faustina's convent and where her tomb is. And we can look back now to see that, you know, being there, praying there before that tomb at 19 years old, like St. Faustina was when she was trying to answer her call to God's will in her life, what a profound impact that was. And then I found myself, I think about 15 years later at the National Shrine of Divine Mercy in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, giving my witness on Divine Mercy Sunday. So I saw how she's been kind of tapping, and then really kind of shoving after speaking at the shrine with writing then Divine Mercy for Moms. And then now we've been blessed to speak all over the United States about Divine Mercy. And now with our second book about our beautiful friend, St. Faustina.
Yes, and Emily, your chapter too, because yours is called Life Lessons from Faustina, which is perfect because you walk us through how prayer fueled Faustina's daily duties, which can help us in ours. I know I need that. And knowing that 3 o'clock is that hour of mercy when we really need those extra graces. Two, then you talk about the power of the prayers for the dying. Could you talk about Mike and Patrick?
Sure. Sometimes in life, the Holy Spirit works where you get that invitation to serve. And this was a friend of mine who has never had children, wasn't married, kind of set me up with, became a friend of mine, my friend Mike, and he had ALS. He was a collegiate football player, and he was bedridden in a nursing home when I first became friends with him. And really journeying with his ALS and how his illness progressed was a blessing, not only for myself, but my children. And the reason why my friend Megan asked me to do this was because I did have children. And she said, you know, Mike doesn't have a wife. He doesn't have a girlfriend. Maybe you could bring the children and just be his friend. And at first, it seemed like a huge request because it was a nursing home on the other side of town. And I had all these little children. I have 7 children now. I had about 5 at the time. But it felt right in my heart. So I talked it over with my husband, and she would meet me, and we would just do simple things. Like the kids would talk about their, you know, little football game with them, or show them, you know, just talk about, bring some papers from school. It was very simple, but we always did celebrate his birthday. That was something that very special because the children realized that he couldn't blow out the candles, that they needed to be there to blow out those candles. So sometimes in life, the Lord invites you, as I was invited to do this work of mercy. And it really came alive to me many years later when I started going deeper into the Divine Mercy devotion, when St. Faustina talks about this idea of service, of deeds, of how we're called to live out Divine Mercy. And she says in the diary, I am giving you 3 ways of exercise mercy towards your neighbor. First by deed, the second by word, and the third by prayer. In these 3 degrees is contained the fullness of mercy, and it is an unquestionable proof of love for me. By this means, a soul glorifies and pays reverence to my mercy. And that quote from the diary really is a summary of what that was. It was a good gesture, but it was a good deed for my family. But later, I discovered he was Catholic. We would pray together. We'd pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet together. And, you know, we really spiritually developed a friendship. But I tell in the story a very impacting memory that happened to me. It was one day we went to go visit Mike. And I even included my friend who's a physical therapist to help with stretching his legs and giving him a little relief because he was 6'4" in a hospital bed. And his roommate looked like he'd had a stroke. He did not look good that day. And the children noticed it and they were uncomfortable. And I just said, you know what, let's pray for his roommate. And I found out his name was Patrick. So he looked at us and he looked attentive. We prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet and, you know, hustle bustle out the door. The following week, I went and visited Mike again, and when I walked in the room, I noticed his roommate wasn't there, so I naturally assumed he was relocated, and he told me with his message board that day that actually Patrick died shortly after we visited, and he also told me that in the 4 years he'd been his roommate, he never had visitors. He lived alone, really, and this older man just captured my whole understanding of God's mercy and the importance of praying with other people, offering your prayers for if your friends are suffering, somebody's on hospice saying, do you want me to come pray with you? That story really inspired me to go deeper in seeing the value of praying because St. Faustina goes on in the diary and tells us that there's very specific blessings when we pray with those who are sick and dying. And she says, my daughter, encourage souls to say the chaplet, which I've given to you. It pleases me to grant everything they ask of me by saying this chaplet. Right then that they will say this chaplet in the presence of the dying, I will stand between my Father and the dying person, not as just judge, but as merciful savior. So I felt like the Lord used that moment with Patrick and Mike to not only perform a work, a good deed, but also go deeper and see the value of praying with others.
I'm speaking with Michelle Fainley and Emily Jaminet. Our Friend Faustina is the name of the new book, Life Lessons in Divine Mercy. And Emily, you also talk about in those introductory prayers of the chaplet that you prayed over Patrick that are the words from the dire, you expired Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. And then to find out, as you said, that Mike shares he died shortly after you prayed those prayers, it must have been a profound grace for you because it sounds like this wasn't planned. This was the Holy Spirit and this was Faustina.
It really wasn't planned. And that's one of the missions of the book is to help people to see that the saints are our friends. They're always leading us. So, you know, looking back to say 10 miles from my house, I'm in a nursing home that I have no business to be in. I'm with my children. I'm a friend of a friend, right? A secular friend, meaning it wasn't intended to be this work of mercy. But the lesson learned that day was so profound. And it was so simple. And that's really how our faith is, isn't it? It's those little gestures. It's those simple moments where there's such clarity. And I realized that day that it, like every day, you know, as Michelle mentioned, you know, not my will, Lord, but your will. How do I go deeper into living this kingdom on earth and being part of your divine will?
And it was an emotional chapter for me to read your words, because if you read my chapter, I share our story and our connection with St. Faustina and our adoption. Part of what went beyond that story was, I think I did touch on my dad being sick. And after our daughter was brought home from Poland, and if you don't know our story, you'll have to read the chapter. And so then my dad is in hospice and he's dying. And the relationship that I had forged with Faustina, really, it seemed to come to a peak there because those prayers, Jesus, I trust in you, in the chaplet, were prayed incessantly as I would drive in and get up at 2 a.m. and drive to hospice, which was on my way to the morning show, and spend time with my dad, then go into work at the radio station. And I don't even know that I consciously knew at the time how often those prayers are recommended for the dying. And that's a big component as well, that the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the diary, and St. Faustina, just the devotion to Divine Mercy, it's very much in Graces for the Dying. In fact, Bury the Dead is one of the works of mercy.
It does. It brings the works of mercy to life. And it really empowers us as the laity to be messengers of mercy. You know, we can't, my brother's a priest, and I clearly know, you know, the role that he can play in those final moments with anointing of the sick. But I think sometimes we step back and first stepping forward and saying, what can I do? And that's pray for people, teach them how to pray, and really help them see that this is powerful. And this is something that we don't know in all of eternity, the value it plays. But I definitely was touched by not only that story, but like you mentioned in your chapter and all of these women. I mean, these are ordinary women coming together and sharing their stories, and they're phenomenal stories. It just reads beautifully.
I agree. I love Reader's Digest and Guidepost, and we've been very blessed to put out two books of devotions, Choose Hope and Choose Joy. And it's such my favorite because you can just pick it up and open to whatever chapter, and you know that you're going to be inspired. You can all read it at once consecutively. They're short enough and they stay with you. They're like dessert for your heart, you know, but they're really good for you. It's not junk food. I mean, it's really beautiful fruit for your heart. And Michelle, do you have a favorite, or I know it's really hard to pick, but one that really impacted you in the book?
Well, I always tell everyone I loved the last chapter by Sister Faustina Maria Pia of the Sisters of Life, because I didn't really know her story at all when we asked her to contribute. I had met her because day when we were speaking, you know, for Divine Mercy for Moms, I had gotten the Sisters of Life magazine because my friend, Sister Mary Louise Cachepta, she's in the order, and at the back was this litany of trust. And I was like, this prayer, it's amazing. So when I asked Sister Faustina to contribute because of this litany. I had no idea her backstory was her real name was Faustina growing up, and how she almost wanted to change her religious name. She selected a different name when she became a sister, and she met Sister Michelangelo, and how she literally pointed at her, and when she had told her she was considering changing her name, "Don't you dare," and how she grew into learning about who the real Faustina was. And I love how she talks about that Faustina was, you know, this red-haired, fiery woman who they called the lawyer because she spoke with so much passion and with her hands, and how the sisters all wanted to sit next to her by recreation because she was so uplifting, and the Mother General marveled at her work in the garden. So she really brought to life, you know, the humanity of St. Faustina, and to see her have her vocation stemming from this beautiful saint was really, it was such a fantastic story. I said we saved the best for last because, you know, how can you top off someone named Faustina?
I know. That's the funny part of it, too. Sister Faustina Maria Pia is a twin. And in the beginning paragraph, she talks about being a child of the 80s. And if there were twins, you might hear names like Cassidy and Kylie or Maddie and Michaela. But hers was Gertrude and Faustina. So it's like way out of the ordinary, but so beautiful. And yes, and then you journey along. That's the beautiful thing is accompaniment. We hear that word, and you accompany not only the women writing and sharing their stories, but through then St. Faustina. So it's this beautiful bond, the sorority of holy sisters, which is so beautiful. Emily, how about you? Any that impacted you and stuck with you?
Well, I think that it was just, I kind of had that overall awestruck that we all had a little place in each other's lives. You know what I mean? It's just these amazing women, just like how you served at the Columbus Women's Conference and gave so much inspiration to all of us. Just seeing the other side of those women, very touching. And a story that really continues to impact me is The Mercy Unseen, the Lori Yablonsky, talking about just the simple trials of her career, this situation that took place in her house, and how God's mercy, you know, really played out. And some of your listeners who know she's a musician out of Florida, and, you know, she writes this whole chapter about the hurricane and her house and a lot of these issues with termites. And then all of a sudden she loses everything in this other hurricane. And I just, you know, it was like she could reread her own chapter for that reminder of what God does in that trust, Jesus, I trust in you. So it was neat to see how we continue to, sometimes I'm sure you see this, we write so that we can go back and remember what we need to know. And I thought Lori's chapter was touching, especially tying in her music career.
That's one of the coolest things that you do so well with your books is to ensure that they can be read and studied in a group format, because we all have that in our lives where we can look back and say, Lord, you were with me then, and I know you're with me now. So you break it up as a book study, taking these stories, or it could be an individual study as well, group or individual studies. Tell us how this one is laid out.
Well, we're delighted that we have partnered. You know, obviously the Marians are the publisher at Stockbridge, Massachusetts, at the National Shrine. So not only did we put study guide questions in the back, so once you have the book, you automatically have the study guide, but we also had Father Chris Alar, who is Father Joseph. He is head of the Association of Marian Helpers. He is also working in collaboration with us, and we're creating a video series. So we have the first six completed, and Emily and I reflect on a little bit on each chapter and what kind of we've pulled the theme from each chapter. And then Father Chris gives us a teaching on this topic from his point as a priest. And he is, if you haven't met Father Chris, he's phenomenal. His new book is Hope After Suicide. Really beautiful.
He's been on the show, and I need to pull up and let you know what episode that was, but it is a powerful episode.
Absolutely. So we were really blessed. We kind of cornered him at the Catholic Marketing Network this summer and asked him if he would, you know, help be kind of that piece, additional piece to this whole project, because we felt it was really important to have this connection between us as lay women in the church and then having someone from the Marians, from their order as a priest, to really go a little deeper into the message of the diary.
Also, I wanted to add real quick, Brooke, that one of my favorite things was the prayers at the end of each chapter.
Yes.
Are right out of the diary. And I just couldn't believe how beautiful they corresponded with the theme of the chapter, what it was about. It was just really rich. And Michelle and I piloted this book actually over the summer with a group of about 30 women across our diocese. And one of the neat things was that they not only got to experience, you know, our friend Faustina, but they're saying things like, I really want to read her diary, or, you know, I got to order that diary that you keep referring to. And the friendships, the room was full of laughter and joy and tears from sharing. So it had the right emotional response that we really want. And that's for spiritual friendship to develop through faith sharing groups and getting to know the saints.
That's what I was going to mention too, as far as the prayers at the end of each chapter, because even the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, if we need a refresher on how to pray it, maybe we've never prayed it and have only heard about it, you have how to recite the chaplet, but you also have St. Faustina's prayer to the Divine Spirit, St. Faustina's prayer to the friend of a lonely heart. There's so many in here. I agree with what you're saying about the diary. I have a dear friend that has done so many theological studies and books, and she has never read the diary. And for me, if you read the chapter I share, you know how much that diary has meant to me, but I have it dog-eared. I have highlighted, I have it written, you know, very much like a tattered Bible where there are scriptures, but in this case, there are verses and there are numbers. I think this one and then Mother Teresa's Come Be My Light are the two that I probably reference the most. And so, yes, definitely recommend, because I think that actually having the diary as you do a guide group study would be a good companion.
Yes, absolutely. And then you can always, you know, look up what we've cited, because it's just a little snippet. You know, you're just getting a little nugget in each chapter and each quote, but there's so much more fullness to the diary. And so, you know, you can see kind of what you are reading and what you're enjoying and what these topics are. And there's actually a really cool book called The Concordance. And I didn't have a copy until I wrote Divine Mercy for Moms, but it's kind of a funny book because it's really an index for the diary. So you can look up any theme. So if you want to look up everything St. Faustina or Jesus said about trust in the diary, it's all cataloged in there. So it's a really neat way to be able to look at the diary if you're looking at this for a certain particular aspect or theme that's going on. It's all pulled out and sorted out.
And don't be intimidated by the size of the actual diary, because you do need that concordance, because it is a pretty dense book.
But yes, I've had people say it's a tome, and I don't know if I wanted to read it, or I couldn't read it, or I couldn't get. But after I read our friend Faustina, I really felt compelled to continue with it, and then my life has been changing. That's what people have said. Now I'm reading the diary, and my life is changing.
So is that the best thing that you could hear?
Truly, I mean, that's why we, as you know, Brooke, that's why we're in ministry and that's why we do these, is that we're just trying to reach out to our fellow sisters, and especially the culture that we live in. We need to grow in our faith and also see the value of the saints that go before us, that not only provide an example, but also intercede on our behalf.
Amen. And we need each other, that's for sure. The book is called Our Friend Faustina, Life Lessons in Divine Mercy. All the titles you've released have been fantastic, from Divine Mercy for Moms to The Friendship Project. And I know that you have a general website probably where you can get all your books.
Yes, our website is inspirethefaith.com. And you could also order directly from the Marians in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. They're shopmercy.org. And it's also available at Amazon. It's on Target online, Cokesbury. There's, if you Google it, several places online that have it in stock. So you can order at your convenience.
Oh, congratulations. Well, you are a gift to us, and we're so thankful for all you do. Michelle, also a big part of the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference, and I know that you've been at EWTN. Emily, you're such a beautiful warrior for the Sacred Heart and the devotion to the Sacred Heart. Both of you, just in your own vocations, are inspiring. And so thank you for your friendship and your work.
Well, thank you for having us, and we feel the same way about you and all the workers in the vineyards, and may we grow deeper in love with Christ.
Amen. And St. Faustina, pray for us.
Thank you again to Emily and Michelle. Oh, the stories are going to stay with me. The book I have, it's on my nightstand. And I wanted to mention too, if you are in Ohio or in the Cleveland area, the very first Cleveland Catholic Women's Conference is coming up, and we will have books at the table. I'm very grateful to be the MC. So we have a vendor table, and you can get Choose Joy, Choose Hope. We are going to have a Pray With Me CD collection that you can get to, as well as the Our Friend Faustina book, a limited amount of books, but we will have that. And pray for us too. You know, it's been really neat to see how many cities each year are adding these Catholic women's conferences, big cities like Dallas and Atlanta and Buffalo, but also smaller cities too. And this, I know, has been a prayer for a really long time to have one in Cleveland. So we're excited that it sold out. We're excited for the speakers. And I'm excited to bring that recap to you. So we'll do that coming up on next week's show. And if you are planning to go, make sure you say hi. God bless you. Thank you again, friends, for being a part of the show. Until next time, peace and love.
Good Things Radio is a production of St. Gabriel Media. Adventure, encounter, evangelize. To find out more, or to schedule Brooke to speak to your group or parish, visit brooketaylor.us. That's brooketaylor.us. Good Things Radio is a production of Coming Home Studios, produced by Mark Cumming. Find out more at www.cominghomestudio.com.